following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
My wife has been incredible. Well, she's always been incredible. But over the last months or so, she's been hitting the gym. She's been going in the mornings to the gym, and she's taking classes. Does anybody take classes at the gym? I never got into that. I did it a couple times. I have a hard time following the instructor, especially if there's any type of like 1-2-3 movement. Like, I cannot track with that movement. My wife is so good at taking classes. But now let's just... Yeah, all right. Okay. But let's just say she's getting up in the morning. She's putting on her workout gear. She's going to the gym. But let's just say she's just sitting on the floor, right? Let's just say she sits on the floor. She's actually not doing anything the instructor says. Now, that's not what she's doing. But let's just say she is. She's getting everything ready. She's getting ready to go. And the instructor comes in front of the class, and she begins to instruct the class. And Bethany, she just sits there. She's like, I'm not doing any of that. The instructor comes after class. Hey, what are you doing? Why are you coming to the class? Oh, I just like to sit here. I'm not going to actually do any of the work. I just want to sit here. I want to get my outfit on. I want to look like I'm going to the gym. Some of you are guilty of that. I know. I want to go to the gym. I'm not going to work out at all. And I'm not going to do anything you say. Now, here's the thing. She's actually going, so she's doing more than me, right? Yeah, she's sitting on the floor. She's not listening or doing anything the instructor is instructing. And quite frankly, she's listening, but she's not doing. And I would just say there's a challenge in Christianity that I think we all bump up against it from time to time. Well, we're like that person. We're like Bethany going to the gym. And we get our Christianity on, but we go and we sit, and we'll listen. We'll be instructed. I hear you instructing me. Or maybe we're in the Word and God is instructing us. I hear you, Lord. You're instructing. But I'm not actually going to do any of the things that you're asking me to do. I'm a Christian, yes, but I'm not following. I'm not going to listen to the instructor. I think that's a challenge. I would just say that's a challenge for all of us as Christians. Are we doing what we're being instructed to do? And I will just say the text that we're going to look at tonight is one of the hardest texts in all of Scripture. Now, here's the thing. It's not hard in that it's hard to understand. It's quite easy to understand. I hope I won't complicate the things tonight. It's easy to understand, but the thing that Jesus asks his followers to do is one of the hardest things you'll see in all of Scripture. Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 8 tonight? Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 31. Mark chapter 8. Verse 31, I want you to hear what Jesus says to his disciples. I want you to hear what he says to them. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, here's what it says. Jesus speaking, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Here are those things that he's about ready to tell them that he's going to have to suffer. Here's what's going to happen to Jesus. Be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Listen to verse 32. He spoke these words openly. The idea there in openly is like boldly or confidently. He wasn't trying to hide anything. Then Peter, kind of his right-hand man, took him aside and began to rebuke him, rebuking Jesus. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Let's stop right there for a moment. Let's capture the scene. Jesus is saying to the guys that day, listen, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm actually going to be under heavy persecution by the religious leaders of the day. They're going to come against me. They're going to persecute me. Ultimately, listen, the Son of Man, I am going to die. I'm going to die. To which Peter then says, wait a minute, shh. Come here. Jesus, come here. Listen, you can't say that, right? We got a movement working here, right? People are starting to follow us. Don't tell people you're going to die, right? That's not a good look for where we're going, the direction we're headed. To which Jesus then says, look at our text. It actually says, it's almost like Peter pulls Jesus to the side, but Jesus looking around, seeing the disciples and other people who were listening, actually rebukes Peter in front of everyone. Why? Because Jesus wants them to know that this thought that Peter has is not of God. This movement that Jesus is creating is not based on him becoming, we talked about this weekend, an earthly king. There's something else that Jesus has in mind. In fact, Peter would have Jesus sustain his life. Oh, Jesus, hold on to your life. Don't lose that. You can't die. Peter says that what you're saying is wrong. We are all trying to hold on to our lives. Jesus, we're trying to hold on to your life. Don't talk about losing your life. Don't talk about giving up your life. This movement is based on you living. You can't die. To which Jesus says in this very powerful moment, I'm not here to preserve my life, right? I'm not here to elevate myself. I'm here to die. In fact, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to ultimately die. What does Jesus then say to Peter? Somebody help me. Get thee behind me who? Satan. Jesus puts this idea of preservation of his life that would try to move him away from the path to the cross on the level of Satan. And whether Satan is present right there in that moment, I mean, he could be. He's after Jesus, right? But clearly what Jesus is saying to Peter is that this thought that you have of sustaining my life, of not allowing me to die, of not going to the cross, of not relinquishing my will to the Father, that is of Satan. And Jesus knows this because, you know, after Jesus got baptized in Luke chapter 4, I think after his baptism, he goes out to the desert. And you remember who tempts in the desert? Who tempted him in the desert? Satan tempts Jesus in the desert. How many times? Three times. I was like, I gave you the question, but then I just threw up the answer. So if you were like, I don't know, three times, right? Three times. What is that temptation all about? It's about moving Jesus away from the path to the cross. It's about Jesus, you are good enough. You could sustain a kingdom here on earth. What does he go to him? He says, listen, you know, turn that rock into bread. You're hungry? Just do it. You're God, right? Do whatever you want. Turn it into bread. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone. What's the other one? Hey, take you to the top of the temple. Jesus, you could just jump down from there. The angels will come and rescue. Start establishing your kingdom here on earth, Jesus. You don't need to follow this heavenly Father plan. You don't need to relinquish yourself to the Father. You're good enough. What was the other one? Satan has him look out over all the nations. He says, that all could be yours. I could give you the authority for all that. If you just do this, Lord, or Jesus, stay here. Establish your kingdom here. Be comfortable here. Jesus says, no, that's Satan's tactics. Keep your mind off the heavenly things. Think on the earthly things alone. That's all that really matters. And so when Peter says, Jesus, stop talking about the death thing. We're establishing our kingdom here. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. I've heard it before. Listen, my life is not my own, the Son would say. I've come to give my life for y'all. Listen to then what he says to his disciples. This is so interesting because, this is why I think it's one of the hardest texts in all of Scripture to follow and abide by. Jesus gives them a warning label. He gives them a warning sign. I know we think of like gospel outreach, we think, give him Jesus, right? And we do. Preach the gospel, we do. And when Jesus preaches the gospel, he says, yeah, you're going to need me. I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. But listen, I don't want you to be naive to the fact that part of walking with Christ is denying the self, is denying who I am and what I want and all the gratification that comes with life. It's against building your own kingdom here on earth of comfort. Right? That's a hard thing for us. But listen, we follow Jesus. What did Jesus do? He said, listen, I'm going to the cross. I'm not establishing a kingdom here. I am going to die. I am going to suffer. He told his disciples that. I looked up some warning labels I think that you'll appreciate. This one was on a portable stroller. It says this, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. I would hope you would do that. On a microwave burrito, it says this, product will be hot after heating. On a product called the rubber band shooter, it says, caution, shoots rubber bands. So be careful when you buy the rubber band. Listen to this one. On a cardboard sunshield that keeps the sun, you know, the ones that keep the sun out of your dash in your car. Do not drive with sunshield in place. I mean, there are warning labels out there. This one was very interesting to me. On a hair dryer, do not use in shower or while sleeping. On a hair dryer. Jesus comes with a warning label. It's this: be ready to deny yourself and follow me. In fact, listen to what he says here in verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever, listen, desires to come after me. So at that point, he maybe says, hey, listen, who wants to come after me? You've seen me do some amazing miracles. And people are like, yeah, I'll come after you. I want to follow you. Listen to what he says. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, I'm not building a kingdom here on this earth. In fact, I'm going to die. How many of you guys want to follow me? That you would take up your cross and follow me. Would you deny yourself and follow me? Look what hinges on this. Look at verse 35. Listen, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Let me read that one more time because I think it's so powerful. We have to capture this. If we're disciples of Jesus, Jesus is saying, one of the things you will do as a disciple that follows me is you will deny yourself. You will take up your cross and you will follow me. Listen what he says in 35 once again. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you want to establish a kingdom, a Jeff kingdom here on this earth that's filled with comfort and all the amenities, but you never will take up your cross, you'll never deny yourself, he says, then you will lose your life. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Look at verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Do I love Jesus enough? Do I trust him enough? Is my faith strong enough to, when that moment comes where he says, Jeff, I want you to step out of that part of your life, that I would deny the self? Now, here's the difficult part of that, is that we are all about self. Just naturally, we love self. We're all into self-preservation. We want to keep ourselves. We're like Peter. We're like, Jesus, you're not going to die, right? We're going to fight to keep you alive because you're going to be the king of Israel, right? We're going to live on your coattails. We're going to establish your kingdom. We're just like that. We like to say, I want this. I need this. I don't want to deny myself anything. Comfort. That's a huge one. Stability. That's a big one. Jesus is saying, listen, what will you not do for me? The cross represents absolute allegiance to Jesus and the total relinquishing of our resources to him. All that we are, time, comfortability. I would just say one of those things of comfort. I'm not just saying, listen, I think stepping outside what is comfortable for us is something that we need to fight for. And at times, it will be something that will say, listen, that's not comfortable for me. That's not what I would do. But if I'm being called to do it by my Heavenly Father, he would say, listen, step outside that comfort zone. Do you think the disciples who followed Jesus ever were uncomfortable? You think so? I believe they were. On a regular basis, it was like part of their life. Their Christian walk was uncomfortable. I've chosen to love Jesus to the point of denying myself is what every Christian should be called to. Every Christian that says, I'm a Jesus follower. I gave my life at a Harvest Crusade. I came forward at Refuge or whatever that looked like. There should be a moment where we say there's nothing that Jesus can't take that is mine. There's nothing that I'm unwilling to give him. In fact, I would just say that's not my opinion. That's in the text. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're going to follow me, you better be ready to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It goes beyond a week-long fast of something or not eating pizza for a while, or I'm going to stop watching TV. Those can be great practices of denying self, but what Jesus is talking about goes far beyond just the sacrifice of those one thing or those two things that we give up for a little while. He's saying, listen, I want a lifestyle of my followers that practices and lives out denying self. For your earthly life is not your longest life. Look at verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you want to establish the kingdom of Jeff here in this place, Jeff, you will lose your life. You will never love the Lord the way he's called you to love him. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, I honestly think when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he knows that they're going to physically die. He knows that some of them are going to die for the gospel and for his life. So when he's saying, listen, some of you, if you want to try to hold your life, you're going to lose it. But some of you, you're going to give your life and it's going to save your life because you're going to give your life for the gospel, for the truth that you believe in. You're going to give all of yourself for the gospel. And I think that's a challenge for us all to say, am I willing to give all of myself for Jesus? And maybe the other question is, what would I hold back from him? What would I say? Listen, I'm willing to deny all myself except this. And I think that would come with a warning label that Jesus would say, be careful, Jeff, if you're just going to hold this back, that you're going to lose out on something valuable. Because my followers are called to give all of themselves. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? It's almost like a rhetorical question. Well, everything. The soul is the thing that continues to live after this flesh no longer lives any longer. And so when Jesus says, well, what would a man give for his soul to be save his soul? Well, everything. Because the soul is the thing that will live for eternity forever and ever and ever. He's saying, what would a man give to save that soul? Yeah, everything. The question is, are we living a life that demonstrates that sort of dedication and denial of self to our Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply? Look at verse 38. This is where we're going to close tonight. Listen to what he says. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You pick me, I'll pick you. You choose me, I'll choose you. We've hit this stage in my junior high daughter's life where it's like, Dad, roll up the windows. We're going to school. You're going to drop me off. You can drop me off around the corner and I'll walk to school. Like this idea of like, a little distance is good. And I think it's healthy. It's healthy. She still loves us at home, I think. But she's really like, hey, actually, it's one my other daughters, like, we'll be playing music and I'll have the windows down because we live in Huntington Beach. We can do that. And we'll get closer to school, like not even on school property. And she'll be like, Dad, roll up your windows, please. It's like, it's not even that loud, but okay. But there's this idea of, listen, I don't want to be ashamed of you, Dad. So go roll up them windows. Same thing here. Jesus is saying, listen, are you really going to choose your way? Are you really going to choose an adultery? He calls it an adulterous generation. Are you going to choose that over your identity as a son and daughter of the King? Are you going to choose those people and to hide away from me and say, well, I don't know Jesus, right? I don't know him that well. Are you going to live in secrecy in an adulterous generation instead of living out loud for him? He says, well, then in that last day, when the glory of his Father has come, then I don't know you. I don't choose you. You don't choose me now. I don't choose you then. Because here's the reason. Because a true disciple, and back to our very beginning start, a disciple is someone who follows after and denies himself to honor Jesus, to live a life that is representative of someone who died on a cross for us, who lived that life, who said, listen, I will die for you. I will deny myself. I won't establish my kingdom here on earth. I will take the path to the cross. I will die for you. And in return, to be a disciple or a follower of me, you will exemplify that. You will live a life denying self in honor of me and lifting me up and living for me. That's the life I'm looking for in my followers. And I think it comes down to us to say, will I live that life? I know many of you who are here tonight have said that. You've said, listen, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Maybe tonight's a reminder to say, listen, I need to get back to that again. I picked up some other things that aren't becoming of a man or a woman of God. And God, I know I need to deny myself in certain areas in order to honor you for the gospel and for your glory. God, make us a beacon for you. Let me live out loud for you. I want to walk with you into eternity. Amen? Let's pray. God, you are so good and you are so gracious. The fact that you would give us a chance to come to you first and foremost because you are a loving Heavenly Father who calls us your sons and daughters. Those that have said, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you call us your family, your sons and daughters. That is incredible reality. And Lord, one of the things you ask of your sons and daughters is to walk with you, to walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness, to walk in a way that honors you and who we are. Lord, I pray tonight over your church, your body, Lord, that we would honor you well, that we would live in such a way that honors our King, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, tonight, maybe there's someone who doesn't know you, or maybe, Lord, they at one point said something, but they stopped walking with you. They just walked away completely, and you would call them back again. You'd redeem them, you'd call them back and call them your own. And tonight, maybe you're doing that, Lord. You're calling those people back to walk with you anew and afresh again. The commitment they made one time, Lord, you're honoring that commitment tonight. You're saying to them, yeah, come repent and turn back to me again. You're my son. You're my daughter. Why wouldn't I come after you? And tonight you're coming after them. Lord, do that work in this place. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice on the cross that he made, that we could have right relationship with you, live in confidence of our trust and our hope and our eternity in you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.